Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 12 through 14. It says this, it says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard, and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this morning. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this church. God, we thank you for all that you've given us the opportunity to do. God, I pray this morning that we would, Lord, cherish the moments that we have here together. God, as we enjoy your presence, Lord, we bask in your grace. We bring all our brokenness, we bring all our hurts, we bring all our needs to your feet this morning, coming boldly before your holy throne. God, and we just pray that all that we would do would be for your glory, could be your words and not our own. God, we love you, thank you, and praise you. In Jesus' holy name. Thank y'all so much. So, church, as we continue through our series that we've called Stand Firm, kind of an encouragement, kind of a direction from Paul to this church in Philippi that he had connections, that he loved, that he was invested in, that he was there at the beginning. And he begins to write this letter of love. We've called it a friendship letter, a letter of love and care and concern that he was writing to the church at Philippi. And one of the things that we see as we're continuing to move down, remember we've talked about how Paul would establish their identity, establish their confidence in who God is and what he's doing. And then we're starting to kind of see a pivot point where as we begin to kind of ease into chapter 2 over the next couple weeks, that Paul begins to give instructions on how to live our Christian life, how to navigate the Christian life, and how to be obedient to what Christ has called us to. And so the amazing thing about Paul's writings, and I say this every week because I'm just always so encouraged that, you know, with Paul, he was always very forward, he was always very blunt, but the thing that Paul never did is he never gave instructions to obedience without first establishing who you are in Christ. And so number one is knowing as a people of God who we are in Christ and what Christ has called us to. And so this morning, as we see Paul writing to the church of Philippi, he begins to kind of lay out a couple of things. And we see some things that he specifically speaks to. And I believe the reason he does this is because he wants us to understand that in all our struggles and all our needs and all our hurts and all our circumstances, that God does something in the midst of it. And so this morning we would title what we're going to discuss this morning this, the service of our circumstances, that our circumstances actually have purpose, that they're not wasted moments, that they're not just meant for hurt for hurt's sake, it's not meant for disappointment's sake, but that our circumstances have a service to provide. And so there's a couple of ways at which we see that in these verses. And the first thing is this, that our situations, our circumstances, create gospel opportunities. Our circumstances or our situations create gospel opportunities. And Paul begins to acknowledge this right off the bat, and I love how he says this. He says, I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. And so Paul wanted to be very clear about his mindset, about his current situation. So what is his current situation? Paul's desire was to be in Rome. He knew that a massive Gentile or non-Christian, non-Jew population was living in Rome. The epicenter of the advanced civilization was in Rome, and he wanted to be in Rome. You can see in his letters how he desired to minister in Rome. And so all of his life, all of his ministry really pushed him and prepared him to get to Rome, and then he gets to Rome, and what happens? He's arrested. not really what he had in mind, I'm sure, to be confined to a prison cell in what I would imagine was not a comfortable situation, probably not treated the best, probably not provided for the best. But what's the first thing that Paul says as he begins to navigate this space of inviting us into seeing how our circumstances can have a service? He says this. He says, I want you to know. And when he says brothers, he's talking about his brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, I want you to know, people of God, what has happened to me. These circumstances that I did not intend, that I did not ask for, that I did not want for my life. He says, I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Listen, he could have complained. He could have been bitter. He could have been withdrawn. He's in a prison in Rome. This is not the circumstances he anticipated. But what did he do? In the midst of that, he said, God, my bad situation is actually doing something. And listen, that's not an easy thing to acknowledge. And I think we need to understand that Paul is not taking this lightly, because there's other situations in the Bible where Paul is saying, like, I have hurts, I have issues, I have a thorn in my side that I prayed God take away. Listen, you don't pray for God to take something away from you unless it is causing you some intense pain or some intense unfortunate situation around you, or being an inconvenience to you. But he prayed these things. He said these things. And so when he's saying this and he's saying here, he's saying, listen, that God is using, that I want you to know, brothers, what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. He's not just saying that flippantly. He's acknowledging the fact that his situation is not an easy situation. It's not what he intended to be in. But that the God that he believes does not waste a single moment with his people. Our greatest situations, our worst situations, God says, I'll use it to serve. You know, and I always go back to Asaph whenever I think about moments like this. Asaph in Psalm 73, he's acknowledging the fact that the wicked basically are having their way. That everything that seems to stand for bad seems to be succeeding. That all of these things are happening. And so then Asaph kind of navigates this mindset about how to deal with it. Do I complain about it? Do I complain about it to the people? Do I tell someone about it? And so he says here in Psalm 73, verse 15, he says, if I had said, I will speak thus, or that he's complaining or communicating this to the people around him. He says, if I had said, I will speak thus, he said, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. So he says, if I would have complained about it, I would have caused issues, I would have caused doubt, I would have caused problems. But what did he say? He says, but when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task, he said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned therein. So he said, listen, it's not that we pretend like we don't have issues. It's not like that we pretend like our circumstances or our situations aren't worth complaining about. He just says that there's a particular place at which we go for the answers that we're desperately seeking after. Sometimes we go to the wrong things for answers, right? Sometimes we seek the wrong things for the right answers. You know, we'll go to certain people. We'll go to certain situations. Sometimes we go to politicians. Sometimes we go to the internet. You know, sometimes we go to all of these different resources to try to find certain answers to our circumstances or situations. When God says, come to me. Come to seek after me. Seek after me in prayer. Seek after me in study. Seek after me in diligence. He says, because it's within that you'll discern what it is that you're going through, why it is that you're going through it, and how the God of the universe can use your circumstance for a service. You know, when Paul says this word advance, it means a furtherance, a progress, a forward movement. This is the same kind of language that is used in describing armies advancing. And listen, an army does not advance if an army is not succeeding, right? An army does not advance unless there's a sense of confidence that they are gaining the ground, that they are winning the day. And so when Paul says this, he says, listen, I want you to know, brothers, that all that's happened to me has really served to advance the army of God's purpose, to advance the war, to win the war for what is happening here. There's a confidence that he carries there, and he's wanting them to know that. Paul was confident in God's ability and his circumstances. And listen, the thing for us that, you know, we navigate, there are some people navigating some very difficult situations in recent time, and, you know, in the past 2 weeks, and, you know, there's so much to be learned and so much to be known. And listen, we need to grieve, and we need to grieve with people. We need to be there for people. And the prayer is that, not to diminish the situations that we navigate, but the prayer is that in seeking the Lord in the midst of it, that when we come to the end of it, number one, having hope that there is even an end to it, that we can move through these situations with our spiritual relationship with God and our relationships with others intact, that by the end of it, God can reveal to us that sometimes our greatest obstacles may very well be our biggest opportunities. Why? Not through our own strengths, not through our own abilities, but how the God of the universe uses those things, our circumstances and situations, to speak to people. And not just any people, but people who are in desperate need of a Savior. This is the thing, and this is the opportunity that we see here, is that Paul is communicating, and we'll read on when we continue on in verse 12, that God is using his circumstance to reach unbelieving people. And for a lot of us, a lot of times we would say, well, that's not fair. Like, why do we have to navigate difficult circumstances? Why do we have to navigate hurts? Why do we have to navigate uncertainties? Why do we have to navigate these things so that people may know Christ? And it's because when Christ tells us, when the Bible tells us, he says, listen, you're gonna suffer with me, but not for nothing. This world's going to bring troubles, right? The Bible tells us this world will bring trials. This world will bring situations that we can't control, that we didn't ask for. But he says, but the difference is between you as a child of God and someone who isn't, is that there is a hope, and that there is a work that is done in the midst of even our best and our worst situations. And that work is the communication and the furtherance of the gospel. That people know. That people, God said, listen, I came to be a servant. I came to serve. And the Bible tells us that there's going to be a certain cross that we bear alongside our Savior. That there's going to be some suffering. That there's going to be some hurts and hardships. But that those hurts and hardships aren't just for the sake of hurt. That they're not just for the sake of being hard. And it's not a big, mean God in the universe shining a magnifying glass down on little ant people to burn us and to harm us. No, he's using every bit of who we are. There's no moment that's wasted. And that should give us so much hope in some of our hardest situations to know that the God of the universe has his hand in the midst of even our deepest, darkest issues. That God is doing something, that God is helping us navigate those things to come out on the other end, and in not only using it for our good, but using it for the good of people around us, and significantly here, specifically here, an unbelieving people. He said, it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest. And so he says the whole imperial guard, he's talking about the Roman guards that are working the area that he's staying in. And not only that, but he says to all the rest. And so when he says to all the rest, he's communicating about a Roman people that are just around. So he says, because of my circumstance, because of my situation, and the way at which, and this is the responsibility that we have in it, is how we navigate the situation, how we choose to engage with it. Do we choose, like in the beginning we said, Paul could have chosen to be bitter, he could have chosen to be angry, he could have chosen to be withdrawn, he could have chosen to feel like a victim in the situation, but he didn't. What did he do? He tells us over and over and over again, he just leaned on the Lord. He leaned on the Lord. Easier said than done, but he says he leaned on the Lord. And so what did God do? He used his bad situation to communicate the gospel to the very people who were standing by at his imprisonment. The people that Paul could have had in his mind and said, well, they don't deserve this. They don't deserve this. The very perpetrators of his persecution. But Paul is celebrating the fact that the gospel is advancing to them because of his situation. He says it has become known. This word known can also, maybe in a different translation you may have, as visible or manifest. That the work of God that he was doing through Paul's imprisonment was actually bringing clarity to the gospel for an unbelieving group of people. Listen, there's only so much that I can say, so much that Garen can say, so much that Ron can say in communicating the gospel, that our teachers can say in communicating the gospel to people. And we need to. The gospel is a spoken thing. It is a good news. It is a message to be communicated. But then there is also a visible manifestation, a clarity that is brought to the gospel message that God does with our lives. And he does this with our good, but he also does this with our difficult. The circumstances that we find ourselves in, the uncertainties that we find ourselves in, the struggles that we find ourselves in, that God uses those moments also to bring clarity to the gospel. And what is the essence of the gospel? The gospel is the wrath of God on sin being paid for by the grace of God through the mercy of Jesus Christ. Knowing that there is a Savior on our side. Knowing that there is a God of the universe that cares about your outcomes. That there is a God of the universe that knows you. That knows every hair on your head, that knows every star in the sky, that you are his workmanship, that the God of the universe has not given up on you even when you feel like you need to give up on yourself. Like the God of the universe is there, that he's invested, that he's involved, that he knows, and that even in the situations within ourselves, that for Paul, he didn't know how long he was going to be there, he didn't know what the end result would be. All he knew is that God was using this situation for the good of the gospel. And it was saving unbelieving people. Listen, that takes a lot of humility because within us our natural inclination is pride and self-preservation. And we want to say, God, if you love me, you won't make me go through this. God, if you love me, you will not make me hurt. God, if you love me, you won't give me sickness. God, if you love me, you won't give me death. God, if you love me, you wouldn't do this. But then the God of the universe says, no, I absolutely do love you. But you know what? I also love so-and-so, and I love so-and-so, and I love so-and-so. And unfortunately, because of the brokenness of our human bodies, we're going to navigate and experience difficult situations. But the beauty of what the gospel and what God does in the midst of it is he takes that destructive, terrible situation and he uses it as a visible manifestation about how God loves his people. Because at the end of it, God shows that he cares, God shows that he loves, he reveals growth, he reveals confidence, he reveals direction, he reveals all those things to us that we can't find on our own. And at the end of our circumstance, we look back with 2020 vision and what do we say? Man, God, you were so good. I'd have never have seen it in the midst of it. But God, you were so good. The circumstances around Paul's imprisonment have been a witness of Christ. Listen, less than ideal circumstances, but they can't keep the gospel from moving forward. Church, our hardest fights can bear our best fruit at times. I want to say that again. Our hardest fights can bear our best fruit that God is wanting to do with us, church. And the thing we need to remember is that things aren't required to be easy to be fruitful. We would like it that way. But that's not the standard. Because without the difficulty, without the darkness, you'd never see the light, right? Without the struggle, we'd never see the saving. Without the wandering, we'd never see the rescue. And he says that it's for Christ. You know, it's not for nothing. He says there in verse 13, he says his imprisonment is for Christ. Listen, specifically for him, it was for preaching the gospel and trying to communicate the gospel to an unsaved community of people. But listen, there are going to be other circumstances that we navigate that we need to remember it's not for nothing, but if for anything, God can use it for Christ and the advancement of his kingdom. but it's all about our perspective. Listen, Paul doesn't mention his own advancement because that wasn't the point of it. But what was important was the movement of the gospel. Church, when we put ourselves before the gospel, we strip our message of its true motive. And that's what Paul wants to do here. He doesn't want to strip his message of his motive. He wants to put the gospel at the front. Who Jesus is, what Jesus does, how Jesus takes broken people and restores them and saves them. How God takes our broken situations, how God takes our hopelessness, how God takes our faithlessness, how God takes our uncertainties and He brings clarity, and He brings courage, and He brings direction, and He brings love and comfort and peace in our hurting. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, the secret is this. When you have the single mind focused on Christ, he says, you look on your circumstances as God-given opportunities for the furtherance of the gospel. And you rejoice at what God is going to do instead of complaining about what God did not do. So church, God uses our situations and our circumstances to create gospel opportunities for the unsaved world. But not only that, and the last thing would be this, is that God uses our circumstances to create gospel growth. Gospel growth. In verse 14, he said, most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment. And so he kind of shifts focus here from talking about the unsaved world to talking back to his Christian brothers and sisters. He says, most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment. He's telling them that they've become confident in the Lord by his circumstances. That because of his circumstances, the way he has approached it, the way he has been obedient through it, the mindset at which he's communicating it, the work at which he's doing in the midst of it. He says, because of that, because of the perseverance, not because of my own ability, because of the strength of the Lord, because of what God is doing with me, that it has brought confidence to the other brothers and sisters in Christ who may be navigating the same situations or may be heading into the same situations or may be coming out of some of the same situations. So he says that he's using his circumstance to create gospel growth in Christians, to bring maturity, to bring direction, to bring growth in this space. Listen, and God will do the same thing in our circumstances, in our situations. That should be an encouragement to us to know that God can use our circumstances to grow the faith family of Christ. That's why it's so important for us to navigate this space together, to navigate this space as a faith family. His hardships have given courage and boldness for the gospel. Because Paul was willing to be selfless in the midst of this situation and allow his experience that Christ was using to provide the encouragement that the believers desperately needed. Some other translations would say this, by my imprisonment. Instead of by my imprisonment, he would say, by my chains. Listen, some chains are self-inflicted and some chains aren't, right? There's some situations that we're navigating that we feel just locked in. We think to ourselves, God, I don't see an end result to this. I don't see how you're going to pull me out of this. I don't see how I'll ever recover. Listen, sometimes we experience loss in our life and we think to ourselves, how will I ever recover? How will I ever move on? How will I ever do anything from this? And so Paul says, listen, not only can you experience growth through your chains that you're experiencing now, he says, but there are others around you that if you will pursue me, seek after me, lean into me, that I'll use your chains to create confidence and courage. Listen, our situations can become fueling stations for the wandering. Our faithfulness in the midst of our hard circumstances and situations can become a fueling station for the fearful, for the searching, a source of encouragement, a source of direction. Listen, that's why it's so important for us to meet together as a faith family. That's why it's so important for us to have small groups. That's why it's so important for us to create spaces where we communicate with each other. Because what it does is it creates opportunities for us to share our circumstances and how we're navigating the circumstances, good and bad. But in all, understanding the faithfulness of God, and what that does is it begins to be the courage is contagious, right? Courage is contagious. When you're courageous in how you navigate a situation, then God will use that courage to be contagious in the life of someone else. When you navigate uncertainty, when you navigate situations that you're not sure how you will make it through it, or maybe looking back and say, I'm not sure how I made it through it, but God is good and God is faithful even when I'm not. And so God has used that. And God then will use your experience as an encouragement to the believers around you. That's why it's so important for us to do what God has called us to do, and that's to be vulnerable, to communicate where we've struggled and where God has saved us. Listen, because the problem is that if we pretend like we've always got it all together, and that we come and we never want to kind of air our dirty laundry, we never want to say where we've struggled, where we've had to grow or learn as a parent, as a spouse, as a Christian, or whatever it might be, then we never create any narratives for anyone else to hear or to learn from that say, at once I was here, and now I'm here, and I'm still moving here. Whereas if we always kind of act as if we've arrived, then we're never can be an encouragement to anyone else. Most of the time, we're probably going to be more of a discouragement to other people when they think to themselves, well, I'll just never get there, because they've never seen the process. They've never heard about how a Christian has grown. How, you know, maybe they need to hear where you were. Maybe they need to hear the point in life where Christ came to you, and where life wasn't perfect after that, where you still struggled and God was still kind of processing you, and that even today that you're different than you were then, but you're still in process, you're still growing. Like, people need to hear that. They need to be communicated that to them from people that are sitting next to them, that are living life alongside them. And so that's where when he's moving into this direction, you know, we see that Paul he was able to communicate something by how he was navigating this, because they saw some things about Paul. The first thing they saw is his joy in the midst of his trial. The second thing that they saw is that they saw that God was taking care of him. But listen, what dictates how people perceive that is how we communicate it. You know, because in this situation, he's in prison, not in a great situation. He very easily could have communicated that God is not taking care of me because I'm here. But Paul was able to say, despite the fact that I'm here, I know that God's still taking care of me. Can you see how people would hear or see that and they would think, well, you're crazy, right? If God cares about you, why would you be in this situation? That's where those elements of the gospel, because things like that, that doesn't make sense. How is God taking care of you, but you're in a terrible situation? It's the same way where we say, why would God save you if you're a terrible sinner, right? Why would God offer you grace if you've done nothing to deserve it? Can you see how where God will use our situations, flip them on their head, and he'll use them as evidence of the gospel? Not only that, but the last thing is this, that God was still using him despite his situation. Church, the reality is this, that God's never done. Even when you feel to the end of yourself, to the end of your abilities, to the end of your rope, church, God is never done. Our chains may not be as dramatic or as difficult as Paul's, but there is no reason why God cannot use your chains in the same way he used his. Your situation, your circumstance, your struggle in the same way. 2 Corinthians 3:12, it says, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. He says that they were bold. Because why? Because they had hope. And they were getting that hope from Paul's hope. 2 Corinthians 7:4, he says, I am acting with great boldness towards you. I have great pride in you, and I am filled with comfort. In all affliction, I am overflowing with joy. Boldness, pride, comfort, all while in the midst of affliction, leading to joy. And Paul, better than anybody, could speak of affliction, speak of hardship, speak of hurt, speak of loss, and give us instruction on how to navigate that. And so, what was this confidence and courage that he was giving them for? What was it to do? What was it to do? When we see at the end of verse 14, it was this. He says, they are much more bold to do what? To speak the word without fear. To speak the word without fear. And the thing we need to know about this is when he says to speak, he's not saying to preach, right? He's not saying much more bold to be a scholar. He's not saying be much more bold to say everything perfectly. When he says this word to speak, this carries with it this idea of everyday conversation. Says that through our circumstances and situations that we can become more bold to speak the word without filter, to have everyday conversation. Listen, what God is inviting us into is inviting us into the gospel, being a part of who we are, in a way where everything we say and do is a representation of that. Like I said, I'm not saying that we navigate life as these perfect Christian people, but that we consider our speech. We consider the words that we say. We consider the way we handle situations. We consider the way we communicate to our children. We consider the way we communicate to our spouse. We consider the way we communicate to our coworkers. And the thing that we need to ask ourselves is, are those things speaking the word? Are they communicating in an everyday conversation our perception, our view, our kind of the way we handle or hold the gospel, the way it affects us? And like I said, it's not communicating that we preach to everybody. It's not communicating that we figure out a way to provide for the masses that are in great need. No, he says that what it did, their spiritual growth and an understanding of what it was doing with them, it gave them boldness to speak the word, to have everyday conversation. The boldness didn't require them to make massive moves of ministry, build churches, feed the masses. It started with conversations. This is where he wants us to lead to. This is the place he wants us to be. Because gospel growth within our homes, within our relationships, and within our churches begins with just everyday conversation, a comfort of talking to people about Jesus, not allowing the fear of our society or the fear of our situation or the fear of the response keep us from being confident, being bold about the fact that we go to church, that we're a Christian, that we want good moral things to happen to our people and the people around us. Like how many times, just being honest with ourselves, are we in a situation and maybe God put something on your heart, like I want to have a conversation, a spiritual conversation, but I'm afraid to do it. I'm afraid how they're going to react. I'm afraid how they're going to respond. I want to invite them to church, but I'm kind of afraid of what they're going to say. I want to act like a Christian. I know I should act like a Christian in this moment and how I carry myself and how I act, but I don't know if it'll be effective. I don't know how I'll feel about it. I don't know how they'll feel about it, right? Church, a comfort to discuss Christ and his gospel. And even if it's not those specific things, letting our speech, right, be representative of those things. In the way that we communicate, in the way that we discuss, in the way that we criticize, in the way that we correct, in the way that we discipline, in the way that we question, that it would be clothed in the gospel. Allowing our speech, allowing our language, allowing those things to communicate those things. Church, as the worship team comes up and we finish with worship this morning, I want to kind of wrap it all up in this for us. Church, that every situation that we step into or that we stumble upon is a road. And it's either a road to rescue. Every situation, every moment, every experience is a road to rescue, either for ourselves or for someone else. Never feel like your circumstance robs you of effectiveness. Never feel like your situation should keep you from being a part of the advancement of the gospel in your family's life, in your spouse's life, in your church family, or in the community circle that you navigate. Church, God uses our lives, even our difficult situations, as a tool in the life of unbelievers, in the growth of Christians and the maturity of Christians. Church, and God uses our lives and obedience as a witness and an encouragement to the faith family around us. So I would just ask you this morning that if you would consider these things, consider your circumstance, whatever your current circumstance is. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not. My hope for you this morning is that you can take time to pray. God, how can you use how I feel within my current circumstance? How can you use it for your glory, God? And I want to be willing for that. I want to be willing to do that. Maybe it's using your current circumstance or your past circumstance or experience to minister into the life of someone who's currently navigating that experience. Maybe it's to use your current circumstance or a past circumstance to be an encouragement to someone else, to lead them, to be present for them, to maybe it's to correct them. Maybe it's to enter in with you know, some loving criticism, some loving correction as a brother or sister in Christ, holding them accountable. Listen, I just want to tell you, I've been there. I've experienced it. I've struggled through it. I see you going down this same path. I don't want to see that for you. God uses our circumstances. He uses our situations for the good of each other and the good of the unbelieving world around us. So how can he do that for you? Pray that this morning. Consider that as we sing and worship together. If you would, stand with us and let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this morning. God, we thank you so much for the time you've given us, Lord, to gather together to worship your holy name. God, I thank you that you take our circumstances. God, I thank you that you take our situations. God, and you lead us and use service from our circumstances. God, that you use our moments to move in the life of other people, whether that's an unbeliever, God, whether that's a Christian in desperate need of growth and maturity. God, that you use our lives, use our situations for your good and glory. God, I just pray this morning that you would just open the hearts of all of us. God, speak to us. Challenge us in ways we desperately need to be challenged. God, and help us to see how you can use us even when we feel unusable. Even when we feel like we've given up on ourselves, God, help remind us that you have not given up on us. Love you. Thank you. Praise you. In Jesus' holy name.